Is joy unspeakable and full of glory, It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told, and the last I have found a joy no tongue can tell. How the waves of glory roll, it is like a great o'erflowing well springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Grab your Bibles again and appreciate again Brother Mike Patterson. He's no stranger here. Been coming 20 years. I don't know how long you've been coming, but it seems like 20 years. I think that's right.
2004, I think. So
okay. So praise the Lord, it's 20 years, and what a blessing. I like having a preacher in who knows y'all, okay, and knows our church, and you know him. And we've heard every message he could preach.
Yeah.
No, that isn't true again. So.
Then
we love repeats, praise the Lord, again. So, Brother Mike, you come and preach what God has laid on your heart, and Lord bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. You know, as I'm moving a little bit slower this year, I've had a bad knee, and we're going to therapy, and then during therapy, I rolled my right ankle. I thought I broke my foot at first, and then I didn't go to the doctor, and a week later I rolled it again, and after about 6 weeks of walking with a cane, my wife said about 100th time, you need to go to the doctor. So, like any man, you wait for 100 times before you go, amen. And so I went to the doctor, and he said, I want an x-ray. I said, I don't think you broke anything, but I'm going to x-ray it, though. And he did. He said, nothing's broken your ankle, but you put a stress fracture in your leg. So he says, you need to wear a boot. So I wore a boot for another 4 or 5 weeks, and I'm still walking with a cane. When I'm unsteady, I fell at the house, fell out on my porch. I go step on the step, and I step backwards and missed a step, and went down, slammed my head into a chair, hit that wooden porch, and you know, it's a long fall. We got an extra 7.5 inches going, amen. And then, man, I fell in the yard. I've fallen the ear place 2 times now this week. I'm a mess, amen, I tell you. I'm on stand up here sometimes. I have to sit down because I start to get woozy. And so I just sit down and I get unsteady on my feet. And I don't want to fall over in the platform. So a lot of times when I preach now, I just hang on. I don't move around like I used to. I had a friend said, I remember when you used to shout and snort, go down the aisle and back and forth and everything. I said, them days are done, man. Let me tell you, I'll kill myself now if I try that. But, you know, God's good, amen. And I have nothing to complain about with the Lord. John chapter 3 with me this morning, if you would. John in chapter 3. And let me get myself over there. Book of John, a tremendous book of the scriptures, amen. And what it's packed with so much. And I want to look at John chapter 3 and some very familiar verses with you this morning. We are going to begin in verse 1 of John chapter 3. And so I'm going to ask if you could, you would stand with me. I'm not going to read, we're going to read through the first 10 verses. I'm not going to read all the 10 verses. I'm just going to read a couple of the verses right now. And then we'll pray and you can be said. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Father, thank you for your precious word and the privilege that we have to come around today, Father, and give you praise and honor and glory. Father, as we look at this simple text of scripture, I pray that we get something from this today that will encourage us and help us and strengthen us to do for you what we ought to do, that you be honored and glorified now, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin, I want to begin with this thought. If you're taking notes, the title of this message is Reformation or Regeneration. Reformed or Regenerated. Reformed or Regenerated. And so as we look at the scripture, let me just share a couple things with you that sometimes people don't know about the Pharisees. One is that they believe Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin, a council of 70 men who ran the religious affairs of the nation and who had religious authority over Jews anywhere in the world. They had all the religious authority. That council was made up of Pharisees. They were a select group. The Pharisees were a select group of about 6,000 men, and who had each taken a solemn vow before three witnesses that he would devote every moment of his entire life to obeying the Ten Commandments as a way of pleasing God. Now, because of this, you had then what they called the scribes. And the scribes are part of the Pharisees. In their interpretation, they had to, well, the Ten Commandments, the scribes did this. These men spent their lives studying the Ten Commandments and applying them to situations of life so that the Pharisees could carry out these commands and thus obey God. In their interpretation of the commandment forbidding work on the Sabbath, the scribes decreed that any form of labor which a man might endeavor himself in on the Sabbath was wrong. So, for example, a farmer during the week could tether his animal with a knot, but on the Sabbath day he could not tie a knot to tether his animal, only unless he could do it with one hand. That was their law. Now, see, they added to the scriptures, did they not? But they thought that would make them holy and more holy. You know, we have the same thing in many churches today. People add things to the Word of God, and they make you think that because you don't do that, that you're not as holy as they are. Let me say something to you. You love Jesus? Amen. You walk with God? Amen. So what? I'm bald, and you're not, so you ain't right. Isn't that stupid stuff? Well, we add things all the time to the Word of God. Well, that was one of their things. They regarded that as work. And certain exceptions, though, was if it was absolutely necessary to life, and one could tie a knot on the Sabbath, only this way, knots that could be tied with one hand were permitted, but not with not one that required two hands. A woman could tie a knot in her girdle or in a scarf that she tied around her neck because that was essential to women. Therefore, it was permitted. So go figure. Some of it was okay with, others it was not okay with. And there's many, many, many more that I could give you, but we're going to stop with that right there. But that was the Pharisees. That man, they had the religious rule over Israel. And then when you come down here to Nicodemus in chapter 3, it says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. I believe part of the Sanhedrin. He said he was a ruler of the Jews. And let me just, let's read a little more. The saint came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou, he says, we know. They didn't have a problem identifying him as a teacher. They had a hard time identifying him as a son of God, amen, but not as a teacher. So he said, we know, that means other Pharisees, not just him and other Jews. He said, that thou art a teacher come from God. He said, God has sent you. We know you're a teacher, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So number one, Nicodemus recognizes the power of God. He recognizes the power of God. How many of you, maybe before you were saved, you recognized the power of God, but you did not know God? I heard things about God when I was a kid. They talked about me. I remember my aunt. Of course, my aunt was half charismatic, I think. I remember when she got real sick, she went to some healing meetings. But she had faith. You know, didn't heal her, but she had faith. And, boy, she believed in God. And I think sometimes that people believe in God, but they don't know God. Amen. And before I got saved, I believed there was a God. I believed there was a Christ. I believed that he rose from the dead. I believed he died on the cross of Calvary. But I didn't know him. And so Nicodemus here, I'm looking at this, he recognizes the power of God, but he does not know him yet. Does not know him. It brought conviction of Christ's work in his life. He said, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He recognized the fact that Christ is working miracles on the earth. Now, this is the first time this miracle is mentioned in the scripture. But I like what he said back again in verse 2, where he says, the saint came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these, he says, these miracles, plural, but this is the first one that's recorded in the Word of God. And by the way, it's only recorded in the book of John. So there were other miracles. I don't know what they were. It doesn't say the other miracles were performed. I heard somebody one time say, well, this is the first miracle in the Bible. It's the first recorded one. But the Bible says here, you've done these miracles. That's plural. And there's a reason why it's plural, because he did a lot more than that. Amen. You know, the Bible says, what about if they wrote everything about Jesus Christ, about every miracle, everything he ever did, there could not be enough books in the world to contain what he did. Now, that's almost hard to fathom, is it not? That's almost hard to understand. But Nicodemus recognizes the power of God. You recognize the power of God in your life. You recognize what God can do for you. You recognize what God can do through you. You know how you recognize what God, how God can use you. Well, you got your missions conference going on. I love missions conference, brother. I get to preach. Got to preach with Larry Clayton, and one of the first evangelists I ever heard back 50 years ago. He's been an evangelist in 70 years. He's 90 years old. Still preaching. I did a missions conference in my home church this year. He preached in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I didn't get in until Monday. I preached Monday night and Tuesday and left Wednesday, and then he preached Wednesday night. And what a great time we had. And he knows what the things of God, doing missions. And I like the statement you just made. He can do more through you. He'll give more through you than he'll give to you. I wrote that down because I'm going to steal that now. It's mine, Amron. I gave you credit here. You don't get it anymore. You probably stole it from somebody, so I'll get blamed for it later anyway. So but it brought conviction to Christ. It brought a consciousness of his own lack. He recognizes what he does not have. Recognizes what he cannot do. He says, you're come from God. He recognizes the power of God. And he recognizes he doesn't have that power like Jesus has. So that is a convicting power that he's talking about, a conviction that's coming to him of a consciousness of his own lack. What he saw, felt, and experienced was his religion. His religion lacked power. Pharisee had no power. Do you realize that for 400 years, from Malachi to Matthew when Jesus was born, and then another 30 years after he was born, that there was not one miracle that happened in Israel for over 400 years. Not one miracle. And Jesus comes on the scene, now he's doing miracles? Man, that would throw a lot of for a loop. So the some of them, what, they accuse him of being Beelzebub, they accuse him of being a child of the devil, they accuse him of being the devil, they accuse him of a lot of different things. But yet here he is on the scene, and Nicodemus recognizes, you see this, he recognizes the fact that he lacks power, but to possess the privilege of Judaism, a man only needed to be born of the seed of Abraham after the flesh. To possess the privilege of Christ's kingdom, a man must be born again of the Holy Spirit. So he's looking at this thing from an earthly aspect as we get into this a little bit. That's how he sees it. It brought a condemnation to him. What do you mean, Mike? He came to Jesus by night. There were others that said, we know, but he was the only one that came. And he wasn't going to come during the day. If he went during the day, everybody would see him. They know what was going on. He was under condemnation and thought, boy, if I can just go see him, maybe I can get an answer to something. And nobody else knew that he was going there. How many of you know people that used to be, thieves worked at night. Amen. Now they work day and night, government and city councils and you name it, you know, your taxes. And that's one of the biggest thieves in our country, I think, is our taxes. Amen. And I'm fortunate. My taxes run me about $400 every 6 months. That's it. I'm fortunate, brother, you know. But I got my own well, got my own septic system, got my own yard. Amen. And got my own house, but they still own it, let me tell you. Missed some taxes a couple years and watch what happens. his secrecy of the cover night is his heart's. His heart is exposed. It's not true that men love darkness rather than light. Is it not true men love darkness rather than light? Is it not true that much wickedness and sin happens under the veil of night? By his coming to Jesus at night, he condemns himself. He comes to Christ. And coming to Christ at night, I think Nicodemus knew something that he needed, but he did not yet know how to get it. Did not yet understand what Jesus had been preaching, what Jesus had been teaching, and with the miracles. He just knew what had happened. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God. He announces the same truth again in order to make it more plain to the hearer's ears. So when you think about this for a minute, let's look at a second thought here. Nicodemus, as we look now, well, let's go back to the text. Jesus answered, and I like this because Jesus answered a question that Nicodemus was not looking for. That's not the question that Nicodemus asked him. He didn't say, how can I get to heaven? Nicodemus said, we know a man coming from God. We know you're a teacher. Because no man can do these miracles except that God be with him. So, but Jesus immediately says, Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, watch what Nicodemus does. Nicodemus reasons from a physical perspective. All right, Jesus gives him a spiritual answer. How many times have you got a spiritual word from the Word of God preaching, teaching, you hear something, and you apply it physically, and so you don't apply it spiritually? And when we do that, boy, it's not going to be good. Not going to be good for you, not going to be good for those around you. So Nicodemus is looking at this thing from a complete physical aspect. So Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, man, that's a question Nicodemus had. He's not listening yet, He said the man be born again, and he's saying, born again? How can I enter my mother's womb a second time? This can't happen. And not like what Jesus says in verse 5 again, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And I believe that's a physical birth and a spiritual birth. Water and the Spirit. Some might not agree with that. That's fine. I know some who don't. But I believe that's, I don't know how you can break it down any better than that. I guess you sure know it's not baptism, amen.
Right.
So it's got to be a watery birth, amen. So the physical nature of this man is described there, flesh. Man, listen, man is flesh. Romans chapter 9, verse 8, that this is they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So he said, they're not the children of God. And the Bible tells you and I that they're flesh. We're flesh. And before you got saved, you were fleshly. Amen. And we're still in the flesh, but we're not supposed to be fleshly anymore. Some of us are fleshed out. Amen. Some of us are fleshed in, but I'm fleshed out. They are dead. 1 Peter 4:6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but we live according to God in the Spirit. They will never enter the kingdom of God. You can, without being born again, saved by the very grace of God, you cannot enter into heaven. You cannot get there. It will not happen. Never could, never will, never should, never shall. It's not going to happen. So the religious efforts are the works of the flesh. That's it. Religious efforts. How many of you know people who have religious efforts? Amen. And they'll go out and say 100 Hail Marys or Our Fathers, and then march around a church 20 times or do 1,000 different things. And they're all flesh. It has nothing to do with the Spirit. Amen. Now, it's good to pray, but we ought not to repetitiously pray all the time. Amen. We ought to think about what we're praying. They did not enter the kingdom of God. Any religious efforts of the flesh, that not by works, Titus 3:5, of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but renewing of the Holy Ghost means something changes when you get saved. Renewing of the Holy Ghost. He's renewing you. you've been born again. You're not regenerated. You're not reformed. You're regenerated. In Ohio, most places send people to prison to reform them. That's what you hear. We're going to reform them. There's no such thing as reforming in prison. Amen. As they tell you, what is in prison? You'll be worse when you come out than you were when you went in, because you learn things in prison that you might not know before. You can only get regenerated by Jesus Christ. That's why jail ministries are so important, Pastor. Amen. Yeah, that's how a man gets born again. That's how a man gets reformed or regenerated. You don't get reformed, you get regenerated because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I was in prison, I didn't get reformed. I got regenerated. I went to a reformed school for a year. I got regenerated. Reformed prison, we had a 30-foot wall, 10-foot thick, all the way around the compound was factories inside of it that we worked at. And I didn't get reformed. I got out worse than I went in. When I went back the second time, I would have got out worse that time than I did the first time. I'd be back a third time if I didn't get saved. Man, I'm glad God saved me. I'm regenerated by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit of God, by the blood of Christ, by His death, His burial, and His resurrection. You see, the change which the Lord declares needful for salvation is not a minor or superficial one. It is not merely reformation or amendment or moral courage or outward alteration of life. How many times have you heard that? A lot of people go to the AA meetings. I'm not preaching against AA, but they sure don't teach you about God, a higher being. The only higher being there is a God. Don't make your own God. Amen. There's only one God. And they got DA, Drug Anonymous. They got GA, Gamblers Anonymous. I mean, when I got saved, I quit the drug. When I got saved, I quit the lifestyle. When I got saved, I quit the drinking. When I got saved, I quit the filthy language. I've never been to any of them programs. Why? Because I'm saved, I'm regenerated, I'm different. I mean, I'm not reformed. If I was reformed, I'd go back to exactly what I was before. But I'm born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. So it is a thorough change of heart. It will change the character. It is a resurrection. It is a new creation. It is a passing from death to life. It is the implanting in our dead hearts of a new principle from above. Amen. Your heart was dead. Now it's alive. It is a calling into existence of a new creature with a new nature, new habits of life, new tastes, new desires, new appetites, new judgments, new opinions, and new hopes and new fears. All this and nothing less than this is implied when our Lord declares that we need a new birth. This change of heart is rendered absolutely necessary to salvation by the corrupt condition in which we are all without exception born. That is, born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We need to be born of the Spirit. Our nature is thoroughly fallen. The carnal mind is enmity against God. 8:7 says, Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to law of God, neither indeed can be. That's why we do the things we did before we were saved. We weren't subject to the laws of God. But now you're saved by the grace of God. Not to serve sin, but to serve the Savior. Amen. I think we need to come back to some things biblically as the children of God, walking with God, doing what He would have us to do. Look down to verse six with me again, verse five. Jesus again, verily, verily saying, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's what is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus then answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Now here's Nicodemus. Jesus went through this two times now. Explained it very plainly to him. Here's Nicodemus. He's still stuck on how can I enter into my mother's womb a second time. He's just stuck there. And when you witness to people sometimes, guess what? They're stuck there. You talk to them about eternal life and eternal damnation, and they're stuck there. How can that be? God's good to everybody. How can that be? There can be no hell because God's so gracious. You say His grace is full of mercy. He can't send people there. And the only way you're going to go there if you do something so wicked and so terrible, then He'll send you there. No, my friend, you're born a sinner. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and sin to my mother conceived me. Psalm 51:5. The Bible tells you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, unless we're saved, unless we're born again, you cannot get into the kingdom of God. It's just that simple. But Nicodemus is stuck. Light of change in your life, when it takes place, will never be forgotten. People sometimes will say, I did that, but didn't do anything for me. I'd say, if you did that and you got saved and didn't do anything for you, I'm just wondering if you really got saved. Because of me, no, I wasn't perfect. I am today. No, I'm not. I'm not perfect today. But when I got saved, things began to change. I shared a little bit at Sunday school this morning. I'm not what I was 50 years ago when I trusted Christ. It's 50 years this last January I got saved in that prison cell. I'm not the same. Be glad of that. Amen. I'm not the same. I've changed. And a change begins to take place. And when that change begins to take place, guess what? More change takes place. And more change. And the more you're in the Bible, the more you're in church, the more you read, the more you study, the more you look at the scriptures, the more you pray, the more you hang around Christians and not the world. Amen. Listen, the more you hang around Christians and not the world, the easier it is to grow in the grace of God. I'm thankful to God that when I got saved, Jenny, who I married the next month, got out of prison August 12, 1974, got married September 6, 1974. It'd be 50 years next month that we've been married. In September the 6th. 50 years. I missed my last two or three anniversaries. I wasn't home for 47, 48, or 49. I've been preaching all over the place, way out in New England and here and across the country. I told her I'd be back for this one. I can't miss this one because I'm in trouble if I do. The 5-0, the big one. Amen. So I got to be back there. But I got married less than a month after I was out of prison, and she's been my help. She's been my strength. Now, she doesn't give me strength like God gives me strength, because she's the one that helped me stay in the right area of my Christian life. She's the one that kept praying for me, even when I got rebellious. She was a believer. And then the friends I used to hang with had gotten saved. They started becoming my better friends than my best friends years ago. Because now they're saved. And one of them is a preacher in Washington State today. Well, he retired now. But his son's preaching out there now. Well, he got two sons preaching out in that area now. And he had 9 kids, amen. He didn't know when to quit. He was looking for Baker's dozen. He won a 13, but the Lord said, that's it, you're done. And what a blessing. But they were my friends, and they encouraged me. And got going to a little church, and wasn't a Baptist church at the time, brother. It was a Bible church. And then the more I grew in the Lord, the more I saw they were in the wrong Bible and were in the wrong something else. But good preacher, just loved the people and taught me a lot of things, amen, and encouraged me in the ministry. Started going to Dr. Don Bennett's church, not this Bennett you got coming here. What's his name? Don? Brother Bennett. Anyway, Don Bennett in Northeast Ohio. And he encouraged me and showed me and taught me things in a ministry that helped me to continue to go forward. I had people surrounding me. But if I could, as a preacher, I got rebellious one time and quit going to church for a while. I was so stinking miserable, you wouldn't want to be around me. You wouldn't want to be around me. Yeah, it wasn't very long, but it was long enough where my wife saw it. Long enough where I was getting mean about some things. Boy, God had to put me flat on my back to get my attention. Amen. That's God. I'm glad He did. But I surrounded myself with born-again believers because I did not want to go back to the old lifestyle. Didn't want anything to do with it. Genesis or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Is the light shining in your heart today? it ought to be. As light is shining in your heart, guess what? It ought to put a smile on your face. It ought to pop out your eyeballs like a robot. You know, I'm just telling you, man. We ought to get excited about the things of God and what He's done for you and me. Man can do many things, but he cannot give life, neither to himself or to others. You see, faith healers sometimes say, "Raise that man from the dead." There ain't nobody raised man from the dead since the apostles' time. Amen. It ain't happening. It's not going to happen. Jesus is the only one who's going to raise the dead, and that's at the resurrection of Jesus Christ or at the great right throne judgment. To give life is the prerogative of God. Our Lord declares that we need to be born again. This mighty change we must above all remember is a thing that without we cannot go to heaven and could not enjoy heaven if we went there. If you go to heaven without salvation, you wouldn't enjoy it. You couldn't do it. And you can't get there without salvation anyway. So we don't have to worry about that part, do we? Amen. I hope you're saved. Our Lord's words on this point are very distinct and expressive. In other words, that Jesus is saying, except the man be born again, he can neither see nor enter the kingdom of God. Heaven may be reached without money, rank, or learning, but it is clear as daylight, if the words have any meaning, that nobody can enter into heaven without a new birth. A new birth. He must be born again. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life this morning. I hope you're on a different page than where Nicodemus was. I believe Nicodemus probably got saved, Pastor, because he was at the cross of Christ when he was taken off the cross. Amen. Nicodemus was there. And the possibility that he probably did come and believe. Doesn't say here, but he probably believed, I think. And was there at the day when Christ hung on the cross the day he got crucified. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life, but maybe something in this message just spoke to your heart about like this. Mike, would you pray for me that I'd be the witness in my life being born again that will shine forth to other people around me that they might believe what I have is real? How about right now? Anybody else say pray for me like that? God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else before I go to the Lord in prayer? Second question is this. Are you saved? You say, Mike, well, I prayed a prayer. Praying a prayer doesn't mean you're saved. Amen. Praying a prayer don't mean you're saved. You say, well, I went to the altar, got on my knees. That's fine. It don't mean you're saved. Is it my mommy saved and I went to church with her? No, don't mean you're saved. You say, my wife's saved. My husband's saved. I go to church with them. No, don't mean you're saved. You say, well, I give all kinds of money. No, don't mean you're saved. I support missions, that's fine, but that don't mean you're saved. What means you're saved, listen to me, is being born again, washed in blood, changed life comes from that. Your life will prove what happened in your heart. It'll prove it. If it's not proven that there's a problem, you ain't right with God, or you ain't saved. You desire the things of the world, you better be careful. Let's come back to what God wants us to be and do what God would have us to do. Father, I thank you for these that raise their hand. Lord, you know the hearts of your children. I pray now, Father, have your way and your will accomplished in this invitation. And if someone is not saved, Father, help them today to see their need for Jesus Christ. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray and give you thanks. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And I want to give you a public invitation. The Lord spoke to your heart and raised your hand. Prayed for you. I want you to slip out and come to the altar right now. God bless you, brother. Come on. You just come. Let God do what he wants to do in your heart. The Lord spoke to your heart. You just slip out and come. Let God have his way. Let him have his will done and accomplished in your life right now. That he would be magnified. How about you come? You come. Turn it over to God. Nobody else needs to know what you say. Nobody else needs to know what you're talking to him about. You know what you're talking about. And by the way, God knows what you're talking to him about. Let him do what he wants to do in your Christian life. Let him be what he wants to be in your Christian life. Let the Holy Spirit work in your heart so that your light will shine forth on the men around you.
562 in our songbook says, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Last night of our conference, Tony Shirley got up and spoke for a half hour about the privilege of being saved. To recognize the privilege that you heard the gospel, that you got saved. And boy, we just want to rejoice in that. This old hymn, there's probably been more people come to an altar to receive salvation under this old hymn. "Just as I am without one plea." That's how we need to come to Him for salvation, to have that new birth that was just preached. But you know, that's how you need to come to Him when you've got sin tangled up in your life. That's how you need to come to Him when life has you all tangled up. And again, we come just as we are. So let's sing that second verse. "Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the blind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Praise the Lord. I was saved when I was 8 years old. I saw my mom and my dad get saved. I saw everything in the Rice house change. And praise the Lord. Got saved during a junior church service. Opal Linebaugh, Dale and Opal Linebaugh, had come to the church for revival services. She was teaching in the basement of Faith Baptist Chapel down at the Gang Mills, New York, and giving the flannel graph lesson of Pilgrim's Progress. And she reached up there, and old Pilgrim was kneeling at the cross. She reached up and clipped that sin burden off with a pair of scissors on his back, clipped that off, and that flooded down to the floor. Before that thing hit the floor, a little boy named Eddie Rice was saved. Praise the Lord. Just to recognize again that God can save a soul, that God can forgive sin, that God can change a life. And I've heard people say, "Well, I did that before, but nothing changed." Listen, if nothing changed, there's something wrong again. Because He makes a change in our lives. He'll save you till you know it. He'll change you till you show it. And what a joy, again, to know. These things are written that ye may know that you have eternal life, John wrote. Boy, it's a good thing to know that. I trust you know that here today. And if you do, again, let's sing that last verse together about receiving again what God has for us and welcomes us and pardons us. What a tremendous verse. Last verse, "Just as I am." Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Father, praise you. Thank you for what we've seen and heard here today. Thank you again for revival services. Revive in us a joy of our salvation to remember again what you did to cause that we'd be born of the Spirit. Father, we'll praise you again and thank you even for the lesson today and the preaching today. Pray again, Father, that you'd put that message on our heart, that we'd be excited to be your witnesses, that you'd go with us, bring us back at the appointed time. Cause again, Father, that this week we could hallow it, we could give it to you, and that we could again see our lives just move closer to you. You said if we draw nigh to you, Lord, help us to do that, and we'll give you all the praise. We love you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for so great salvation. Father, pray again that you touch now our revival services in a special way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you being here this morning. We'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. That's unusual for you to break up your Sunday afternoon and get back to church at 6. And so take a note, go ahead, and we look forward to being back for our revival services tonight. Lord bless you.